The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. How is everybody today on this beautiful January 28th, Saturday, 2023? Welcome to the show, my friends. We've got a packed one for you, as usual. Let me tell you who the guests are. And, of course, our show, my friends, is all about the U.S. border, which continues to be out of control, my friends. Open it and out of control. Our guest speakers are going to talk about the policies and the issues, my friends, that are affecting our nation and our communities. We need to understand that this issue of the border, the open border, my friends, is affecting us in many, many ways, not only with illegal aliens coming across that we don't know who they are, what they're doing, complicating our economy and our politics, our local communities, but also, my friends, among them are folks who are criminals, who are coming back in after being deported, who are crossing back again. Not only that, but since October 1st of 2022, last October 1st, since that time, my friends, 38 people who are on the terrorist watch list have been caught at the border coming in. They have been caught at the border coming in. Now, those are the ones that have been caught. Heaven knows who hasn't been caught, my friends. Then, of course, there's the fentanyl, the drugs that are pouring across, my friends, and killing thousands of Americans. And you know, more Americans have died during this period of open border with the fentanyl coming in than in the Vietnam War. And you remember all the leftist protesters that were out there screaming and yelling to get out of Vietnam. I don't hear any leftists screaming and yelling to shut down the border. Nevertheless, so let me tell you real quick, my friends, who are guests are, because they are very, very good, nationally known. First up is Mr. Art Del Cueto, who is the National Vice President of the Border Patrol Council. Art is actually based in Arizona, but he is the point guard, so to speak. He is the point person at the border for the Border Patrol Council, and he's going to be chatting with us about the issues that the Border Patrol is facing, which are substantial, my friends. If you think that the police have been defunded in communities, the Border Patrol has been defunded, literally. Then we have John Zadrozny, who is with the First America Legal Foundation. John's going to be talking about how the First America Legal Foundation has joined Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton in a lawsuit against the Biden administration over the issue of how they're handling the border. John used to work, was an advisor to President Trump. Then we have Ron Kovach, who is with the Federation for American Immigration Reform in Washington, D.C. He's going to be telling us, my friends, about the crazy policies that continue to pour out of Washington, D.C. that are creating a problem for us. Our final guest is Brent Smith, a very good friend of ours, from Kenney County. He is the county attorney in Kenney County, which is just west of Del Rio. And literally, they are so overwhelmed and swamped with the illegal alien invasion, my friends, that they are having, Kenney County is asking counties outside of Texas for support in manpower for their sheriff's department. Literally, my friends, that's a shame. So anyway, welcome to the show, my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Call your friends, tell them to join us. When we post the program, please share it with folks. We need to educate them about what is happening at the border. So without further ado, we're going to go to our first guest. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on this Thursday, January the 26th. We've got our good friend, Agent Art Del Cueto, who is with the Border Patrol. He is the national Border Patrol Council official. And I wanted to get him on. He's been on our show before, but I wanted to get him on because it's been a couple of weeks, 3 weeks almost, since the President of the United States went down and visited El Paso, and then he went over and met with the Mexican president. And I am not sure, Art, has anything changed regarding the border crisis, in your opinion?
I wish I could tell you it has. First and foremost, thank you for having me on. And just to clarify to people, I am the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council. And when I do these interviews, I do not speak on behalf of the agency whatsoever, which, as I always say, is a good thing, because then if I spoke on behalf of the agency, you'd have to get the Mickey Mouse answers, right? You come to me because you want the real answers. And I can tell you nothing has changed. It is we knew nothing was going to change. It's always a dog and pony show when, you know, some of these individuals come down to the border. They did a quick cleanup in El Paso, and similar to the way they did it in Del Rio some time ago when they had the Haitians underneath the bridge. You know, the new BLM was coming to protest, so they cleaned it up and got rid of everyone that was there. It's just amazing to me. It amazes me that, you know, there's so much social media, there's so much news, there's video, there's audio, there's radio, there's so many people that can cover it, yet this administration continues to cover it up or lie about it, you know, of something that is obvious and people know is a problem. Nothing has changed, everything's the same, no policy changes, but obviously, you know, President Biden came down, he saw the border, he was able to check that box, go back to Washington and say, look, I was down there, and I really didn't see anything wrong. It was cleaned up. And that's part of the problem, you know. And even now, you know, we're going through these times where, you know, we're getting overrun. Excuse me, we're getting overrun. We need, you know, more hands on deck at times with these people that are guarding the line. And then the agency turns around and they come up with, you know, some different program now. I don't know if you've seen it, but I call it the Happy Dog Program, where I know agents are stressed. We know they're stressed, they're overworked, they need some help. But instead of, you know, asking for policy changes or hiring individuals that can do the processing, like the processing coordinators, or, you know, putting their, you know, position somewhere else to help them relieve their stress, what the agency decided to do was get dogs, pretty much like service dogs, where they're going to come to the station and I guess you get to pet it and your stress goes away. I don't know how that's going to work.
I'm sorry. I had to laugh.
Well, it is. It's laughable. Look, I spoke to the chief some time ago and I said, look, agents are stressed. This is a problem. And I had suggested something that Atlanta PD has been doing for quite some time, which is, you know, their officers are able to take some type of martial arts on an accredited school. It gives them an extra skill that they can use. That way, you know, it reduces the use of deadly force. They have an extra skill to do and reduces their stress level. It's proven. And the Atlanta PD does a full reimbursement. I was asking for a half, 50% reimbursement of the agents that wanted to do it. And they said, no. But they came up with, you know, a petting zoo? Come on.
Incredible. That is a good... Now, one of the situations that has been reported or is being reported by the New York Times, a good friend of President Biden, by the New York Times, they're talking about how the number of people being intercepted at the border has been reduced. And they're claiming that it's because the president has put forth a new program which allows people to be paroled humanely into the country. Your thoughts?
look, when you have as many people as you have doing administrative duties, that minimizes the amount of agents that are on the front line. when you have now supervisors that are too busy, you know, going from station to station with poodles so you can pet, that reduces the amount of individuals on the front line. So if you don't have enough individuals on the front line, it turns into the old saying, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to see it, it's on the same lines. You know, you have so many agents that are now busy in administrative roles, so they're not there to see the bodies that are coming through, because, you know, you still have the gotaways that are, you know, record numbers every month, but it's the same thing. You know, you don't have the agents out there to actually count the bodies coming in.
Yeah, and we have read, for example, the sheriff of Kenney County, Texas, which is Brackettville here in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He arrested a couple of illegal aliens that had broken into a house and stolen guns. Now,
yep.
My understanding was that these people, or at least that's what we're told, that these people are coming here to work. What kind of work are they going to do if they want to steal guns?
No, and you know what? That's a fantastic point, because it's a domino effect that a lot of people don't understand. We see it throughout all the counties that are near the border. You have county sheriffs that are too busy having to take care of, you know, these illegal alien crimes. Thus, they're not able to respond to the crimes that are happening in their own county. You have domestic violences, you got DUIs, you got all kinds of things that are happening in their county that they're not able to respond because they're too busy having to respond to the illegal alien crimes that are happening in their counties.
Incredible. It really, you know, not to mention the chases. That's another thing. The chases that I went to Laredo the other day and I saw three chases. In one day, I mean, it's incredible. And the people that are driving these, my understanding is that there are a lot of young people that are driving these.
The cartels continue to recruit these young kids to do this job for them, and that's another one. So then, you know, the agency turned around. They're getting ready to release a new policy on the vehicle pursuits. I haven't really had the time to study it well. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can already guess that it's going to be some knee-jerk reaction to be able to handcuff the agents more and reduce the ability for them to go after these criminals. So now what is that going to do? That's going to empower the criminals even more.
Yep. I mean, you know, like we have seen in Chicago where the police cannot chase somebody that's running away. This probably will be in the same thing.
Yeah, that's the problem. Right now we have lawmakers that are too busy making laws to empower the criminal element instead of, you know, the law-abiding citizens.
Now, speaking of the criminal element, what about the cartels on the other side of the river? I mean, we have seen that in Nuevo Laredo over here that, you know, big shootouts between cartels. How strong have they gotten now?
Look, it's like we've seen it. So they're making money, like hand over fist. You know that. You know, they're controlling the border. No one's stopping them from, you know, the money that they're making. You see, you know, the videos, you see the pictures, you see the social media. They're out there with 50 caliber machine guns. You know, they've empowered themselves. They've armed themselves to levels that, you know, military grade equipment. And then you turn around and America's too busy going after American citizens for arm braces on air pistols. It's just insane. You know, I've seen it, I've talked to it. Maybe they should be concerned with the amount of weapons that are being used in Mexico and how much the Mexican cartels have continued to get empowered. And I'm talking from, you know, the edge of the border of California all the way to the very end of where Texas is. These cartels, they run the border and they've become empowered. They've shown that the Sinaloa cartel alone operates in 86 different countries. That ought to tell you how much money they're making.
Wow. Now, one last thing before I let you go. I read where the San Diego office, the Border Patrol office in San Diego, had put out a warning about smuggling eggs. Now, I haven't seen anything regarding fentanyl or human beings, but I did see something regarding eggs.
You know what? I saw that. I think it came out something about happening at the port of entry. Mm-hmm. I think that's something. They caught some big smuggling attempt of eggs, I guess, with the price of eggs here. But, I mean, it is. When you look at it, that's a little ridiculous. I mean, it is fall under the customs. That's their job, and I understand that. But, you know, you get all these news stories that they turn around and they focus on the eggs because it's a new thing to talk about. All the while, the drug cartels continue to bring heroin, methamphetamine, and fentanyl into the United States.
Incredible, incredible. Well, my man, thank you very, very much for taking time, as usual, to be with us. We're going to, we'll be.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, as always.
You take care, and our prayers and thoughts are with the agents.
Thank you so much.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. We've been chatting with the Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council, Mr. Art Del Cuerpo. Thank you. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas on this Thursday, January 26, 2023. And we've got our very, very good friend, Mr. John Zadrozny, a former aide to President Trump in Washington, D.C. And he is also now with the American First Legal Foundation in D.C. I wanted to get him on because, my friends, America First Legal Foundation has partnered with the Texas Attorney General, Mr. Ken Paxton, another one of our good friends. And they are working on a special lawsuit. John, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time, as usual, to talk to us. Tell us about this partnership. Tell us about this work that you guys are doing with the Texas Attorney General.
Hey, George, thanks for having me on. Yes, of course. So we filed a lawsuit this week with Texas and 19 other state attorneys general. Texas took the lead to basically stop what the Biden administration had announced earlier this month. You may recall, George, that Joe Biden avoided the border for 2 years. The first time he visited the border was essentially to announce a shadow amnesty program. Where he was basically proposing that they were going to, in addition to not doing a good job of enforcement at the border, which they're still not doing, they were going to now make available 30,000 guest visas, guest worker visas a month to nationals from four countries. And that would be the sort of thing that would happen indefinitely. That's their plan. Or rather, I'm sorry, not guest visas, paroles for access to the country for work. Now, I don't need to tell you where there are too many problems in that proposal. First of which, they're not dealing with anything enforcement. There's no, we're doing this enforcement thing, so that's why we're changing it up to do this other thing. They're just going to be, you know, the gaping hole at the border that we are now. But what they're advocating, in addition to the 6 to 7 million people who have probably entered the country in the last 2 years illegally, is we're going to give another 30,000 categorical parole entries to people from Venezuela, Nicaragua, and two other countries. I'm actually trying to blank on those two other countries' names. I think one of them is Honduras. So do the math on that. Literally do the math. 30,000 a month. And by the way, not visas, parole. Categorical parole, which is illegal according to Congress, 30,000 entries per month times 12, you're looking at 360,000 people a year. And it goes without saying that any of those people who enter will be considered for basically permanent extension. So it was amazing how they announced, they tried to finagle that as some sort of solution to the immigration problem when it's really just going to exacerbate it. Well, it's clearly illegal. It's important to point out that it is illegal. Congress has rejected the concept of categorical parole. The executive branch has the authority to parole someone in theoretically under very narrow circumstances on a case-by-case basis. For example, there's a Mexican national who needs a heart surgery that can only happen in El Paso, for example. That's a great example. We would parole that person in to have the life-saving surgery, and then they'd have to leave. We wouldn't necessarily have time to do a visa. We would just parole them in for that surgery. Or other humanitarian, very narrow exceptions, humanitarian or otherwise. What they're trying to do is do basically what they did under the Obama administration almost 10 years ago with DACA, where they just said, we're going to take that case-by-case parole option and make it categorical. Congress has said you can't do that. And so what they're basically doing is illegal, and Texas and the other 19 states have agreed. So we're in front of the courts now. We'll see how that goes.
Now, it's very, very interesting that they're playing, that the Biden administration seems to be playing the same game that Obama did with the DACA folks, of creating a program that is illegal, I mean, that they can't do. And here we are several years after, almost 20 years after the creation of that, or 15 years after the creation of that program of DACA for the Dreamers, and we're still trying to figure out whether or not it's, you know, I mean, did he have the power to do that? Is this, are we going to be facing the same situation with this administration?
That's basically what they're trying to do, George. I mean, you think about it. Let me back up and explain parole a little bit more. It's basically the federal government has the ability to, again, on a case-by-case basis, let someone enter the country. Congress, when it established that authority with very narrow parameters, made it clear that you can't basically just say, well, we're doing case-by-case on a categorical basis. In other words, it really has to be human being number one in front of you, are they eligible for parole? Human being number two in front of you, are they eligible for parole? What Alejandro Mayorkas and the administration have basically done is said, we're expanding the case by case to a category, which is every national in Venezuela, every national in Honduras, and so on. And so that's illegal. That's just blatantly illegal. There's really very little debate about it. In fact, the case law stemming from the DACA and the DAPA litigation, you may remember, was very favorable to us on that front. And even the Supreme Court, which gave President Trump a hard time regarding his decision to terminate the DACA program, agreed that it was legally permissible. That it, they just came up with some nonsense under Justice Roberts to make sure that it didn't stop because he likes amnesty. So the reality is the case law is on our side. Congress's wording is on our side. It's very clear. And it's really clear that they just keep going for this apple. But the thing is, George, you know as well as I do, the left gets away with murder, proverbial and otherwise. And they are basically going to hope that they can squeeze as many people in under that program who will never leave. This is in addition to the 4 million approximate illegal aliens that they have let in, plus the gotaways, which are hundreds in the hundreds of thousands, plus the unknowns, which are also probably in the hundreds of thousands. That's why I'm comfortable, George, saying that between January 20th, 2021 and today, the Biden administration has let in 6 to 7 million people from around the world into the United States illegally. That's a giant number. And that number is only going to expand if this parole abuse is permitted. And hopefully we won't let that happen.
You know, the other thing that's very, very interesting is how the liberal media is getting out in front on this discussion, because they are claiming that the number of illegal aliens or illegal immigrants, as they put it, has fallen, and a direct result of people entering legally now. Well, I mean, that's their term, that they think that the people are going to be let in legally. And if that's, you know, I mean, again, they're playing games with terminology that's, you know, when the issue is, when it's not even a legal thing that they're doing.
Yeah, it's important. You raise a great point, George. So the administration would probably say, if they were on this call, they would say, no, millions of people have not been let in illegally. We've let them into parole.
Yep.
But again, what they've basically done is a categorical parole of anyone who walks up to the border. Federal law requires that most of those people be turned away. And all the tools the Trump administration used to turn those individuals away were used during the Trump administration, and the Biden administration literally ended them on day one so that they could again violate federal law. The other thing, though, I'd point out, though, George, is we actually do issue visas to most of those countries. Cuba is the one country – I'm not even 100% sure with Cuba, but most of the four countries – most of the visas – sorry, let me back up. The four countries that are on that list for those parole options, we issue visas to nationals of those countries. It's important to point out that these are likely people who are not eligible for those visas. So in addition to people who are coming here on visas, we have guest worker visas. We have humanitarian visas. These people are already – this is a whole different thing. This is – they just want to let 30,000 people in. Now, what they're trying to pretend is that they're doing something good for enforcement by saying, well, if we just give them this parole access at their – you know, the point of their government, they're inside their borders, they're not – traveling thousands of miles to Mexico, and they're not going to have the incentive to come here illegally, and that's going to reduce the pressure on the border. That's, in a way, that's a red herring, because the reality is these are people who shouldn't be coming. Honestly, one of the only real deterrents to even more people coming is the dangerous journey, right? So you're basically removing the only remaining deterrent for illegal immigration, which is the dangerous journey. The Biden administration is flying to a city near you to give you amnesty.
Yeah. Amazing. It's really, really amazing. The other issue, because I personally have been interviewing folks here in San Antonio at the Migrant Center, but, you know, they're giving them these paroles so that they can work, but they can't find work. I mean, the vast majority of these people are first of all, they don't have an English capability, and secondly, they don't have skills. So what are they going to work at?
No, that's another great point, George. And the reality is our economy is not 100% either. And so the idea that you would take an economy that's sputtering because of all the damage being done by the Biden crime family to the country, you then add lots of foreign, cheap, illiterate labor to the market, and you're essentially fueling a pretty big economic issue, not just for the country as a whole, but for anyone who is an American citizen or legally here, who is in the lower skill end of the job market, right? You're basically pushing illegal labor onto these into these communities, lowering wages, pushing Americans out of jobs. It's really grotesque. The Biden administration is banking on being able to make those people stay and hoping that nobody ever comes along in the future and says, okay, well, we're removing everyone who's here illegally. They want to create the pressure for an amnesty. I've been saying this all along. Like,
yes.
Their goal has been to add millions and millions of people to the United States and then one day shrug and say, gosh, it's just too hard to remove them. We just have to give everybody an amnesty.
Exactly. That's exactly true. John, we need to conclude here. Tell the folks where they can follow and how they can support the America First Legal Foundation.
Well, thank you for that, George. If you want to come read more about our lawsuit against the Biden administration, it's one of several, and we've got a lot of other things cooking in terms of litigation and other oversight efforts. Come check us out at aflegal.org. That's alphafranklegal.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you very much, folks. We've been speaking with our good friend, Mr. John Zadrozny, former aide to President Trump, and also he is with the America First Legal Foundation, helping the Texas State Attorney General Ken Paxton in a lawsuit against the Biden administration. Thank you so much, John. Keep up the good work and keep defending our freedoms.
Thank you, George. God bless. Take care.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Ron Kovach from FAIR. And he is the chief, he's the public relations man for FAIR in Washington, D.C. And of course, folks, you know that FAIR is the premier organization in Washington that's battling for border control, controlled immigration, the fight against the border crisis, et cetera, et cetera. So, Ron, in talking about this border crisis, I was noticing that in San Diego, the Border Patrol spokesperson in San Diego was worried about the smuggling of eggs. But I haven't seen anything about the smuggling of people or fentanyl. Can you comment? Well, welcome to the show. Can you comment a little bit about that?
George, thank you for the kind intro, and thanks so much for having me back. Yeah, I know a little bit about this one. So, you know, we were all taken aback here at FAIR when we saw on January 17th a San Diego Border Patrol member. She ended up tweeting out, you know, as a reminder to everyone crossing the border, whether it's legally or illegal, that uncooked eggs are prohibited from entry into the United States, and failure to report gets you a penalty of $10,000. Now, you know, they didn't tweet about the fentanyl that day. They didn't tweet about people coming across the border that day. All they were worried about was the eggs. And, you know, maybe it has something to do with, you know, inflation, having eggs, you know, over $7 for a dozen, something along those lines. But, you know, this isn't something they should be talking about. What they should really be talking about, what they should really be focusing on right now, is the fact that we just had a record, George, of the amount of people that we had cross our border for a month. We just had, in December 2022, you know, of course, they had to release this late on a Friday night, in the middle of the night, so no one was able to actually see these numbers. But there were a total 251,000 total encounters in December. Absolutely ridiculous. The highest number we've ever seen in a month.
Now, again, give us the difference between an encounter and a gotaway.
Yeah, of course, of course. So an encounter is someone who comes to the border. Border Patrol has a chance to talk to them. They register them into the system. Whether or not we're using real names, real birthdays, anything along those lines, that's up to determination. But these are people that had contact with Border Patrol, and then a lot of the time were released back into the United States. What we actually saw were there were only 19% of the people who came to the border this time around over the month of December were expelled under Title 42. So, you know, some of these people, they came to the border and were expelled, but, I mean, we're only looking at 20-25% of these people. A lot of them are brought into the United States. Now, you bring up the gotaway question. There were 70,000 known gotaways, so this is on top of that 250,000 number. And what are we looking at here is these people had no contact with Border Patrol. We don't know who they are, where they're from, what they're doing here, and they were able to just sneak across without any sort of contact, any sort of interview, knowing what their purpose is coming to the country.
Yeah, I read that where Breitbart reported that there were, I believe, 17 known terrorists, people that were on the terrorist list, that were intercepted, that were arrested at the border just in December. Just in December.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very dangerous things, George, because, I mean, you see, just think about it. I mean, there could be a sleeper cell in the United States right now, and we know nothing about it. I mean, how many people did it take to do 9-11? What, 10, 11? I mean, maybe 15 tops. We had 17 people cross the border in December alone that were on the terrorist watch list. There have been 38 total just in fiscal year 2023 over the past 3 months. Now, you know, if we're looking at that compared to previous numbers, we have 38 right now. We had 98 all of 2022, but between 17 and 21, there were only 26 total, which means these numbers are going up and there's more and more people that we are catching going across our border on the terrorist watch list, and we have no idea if any of them are in that gotaway number as well.
And we're worried about eggs, I guess, at this point.
Yeah. I guess that's the number one worry. That's the number one worry. Something else I found kind of humorous about this was, you know, the Border Patrol, every time they release these numbers, they have a sort of a line graph that they put out showing, you know, well, this month we had more, this month we had less, and, you know, they adjust the scale based on how many people we have that month. Since Biden has taken office, they have had to adjust the y-axis on this graph. You know, it started at 150K was the top. Then it went to 200. Then it went to 250. Now the top bar after this month, because it's over 250K, that number, now they're at 300K at the top. They had to adjust the graph for a fourth time under his presidency to make sure we're counting for all these people.
Incredible, incredible. Now, this is completely different from people that come in with visas and then overstay and kind of disappear, right?
I mean, yeah, so I mean, there's all kinds of different sort of people who are coming across, but what is going to happen to a lot of these people who are coming is they're going to come, they're going to have a conversation with Border Patrol, they're going to give them a date as to when they could go to an asylum hearing. When they do that, they are going to be inside of the United States the entire time they're waiting for this case. Right now, with current backlog, some of that could take years before they're in front of a judge, and at that point, they have time to establish themselves, you know, set up an apartment, set up a job, everything along those lines. So, you know, a lot of the time, you know, they're going to a judge, you know, for someone Biden appointed, you know, we don't know the background of them. There's a lot of time they're able to say, hey, you know, I've been here, I set up my life here, you should be able to give me asylum. So, you know, being a judge in that case, of course, they have to make the ruling, but, you know, it gives them a lot more of a chance of staying in the country the longer they are here waiting for that case.
Yeah, especially if they have an anchor baby, especially if they stay.
Yeah. And, you know, that's completely different than under Trump. You know, we had the Migrant Protection Protocols, more commonly known as the Remain in Mexico policy. And what that did was it kept people in Mexico so that way they weren't in the United States establishing a life while they, you know, just recently came across the border.
Now, speaking of Mexico, there was a group of congressmen, representatives that spoke out on Tuesday, saying that nothing had been discussed between the president and the president of Mexico about the border crisis. Instead, they talked about all sorts of feel good things like diversity and other things like that. I mean, is there anything that the new House is planning to do about this craziness?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff, like you're talking about, that all Mexican President AMLO and President Biden talked about, it was kind of that fluff sort of idea. And, you know, what they actually claimed was that they said they, quote, ran out of time to talk about the border crisis and that this entire thing is affecting people. Can't believe how that wasn't the topic of conversation, that wasn't at least brought up, or what other possible things they could be talking about. But that was absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, as far as the House of Representatives, the way that the Senate's going right now, now, given, you know, there is maybe room at the end of the week or next week where they could bring this up. Initially, you know, when we talked about it, there was that Scooby bill and that Roy bill, which they were going to be bringing up to the House of Representatives, hopefully getting passed. But we've had some, you know, pushback, and I know you have, you know, Representative Gonzalez in your area, you know, pushback from people like him have actually ended up making it so these bills aren't on the floor. That, you know, there's a few representatives on the Republican side.
Does anyone know? Let me interrupt you, because, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
Gonzalez is right here next door to us. As far as the as far as his district goes, has he explained why he pushed back, or is there any kind of explanation as to why he opposed it?
The basic gist of what he's saying against the bill is that it's going too far. You know, I think he's looking for a little more asylum than what, you know, people really want, and he's looking for other sort of concessions to not really making these border security bills as strong. Maybe it's because he's trying to have an extra voice in the House. I don't really know his reasoning behind it, but ultimately what we're talking about here is that there's a lot of different people who are stopping up the Republicans from being able to pass this in the House of Representatives. And at the end of the day, you know, we have Democratic control of the Senate, and Biden has the ultimate signature, the pen there, when it comes to making sure that policies are being put out. But if we're not even to get able to get messaging bills out of the House of Representatives with the Republican majority, chances are looking pretty slim for actually trying to get some border security done.
Yeah, and we know, like, Kinney County Sheriff here in Texas, the sheriff of Kinney County has actually asked sheriffs in other states for assistance and backup, because, I mean, it's a small rural, well, the county itself is almost the size of Rhode Island, but the population is extremely tiny. And they just, you know, I mean, it's a lot of area I think he's only got four deputies to cover. So it would seem like the President of the United States would be interested in the safety of Americans.
You know, you would think that, but I mean, you know, go back to the El Paso trip that we talked about last interview here, you know, when we were talking about it on the show. Biden really didn't get a view for it. You know, he didn't see any migrants. You know, he talked to only really a couple Border Patrol agents, didn't go into any of the facilities, didn't talk to people who, you know, mayors, county commissioners, anyone who was local government in El Paso. Really, he just went there to check the box. So it really is telling about how much he cares about this issue.
And this problem is coming to the cities, because increasingly major cities are beginning to freak out, I can use that phrase, over the number of illegal aliens that are arriving in their communities.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we have a lot of people who are sounding off about it. And, you know, a lot of the mayors, it was at the mayor's conference that happened here in D.C. last week. What they were talking about was, it was actually the mayor of New York City. You know, you would think this guy would be, you know, crazy Democrat type, you know, saying we want to let more asylum seekers in, you know, that kind of language, everything along those lines. But what he said when he stood up was, Joe Biden, I went to El Paso last week, and I could tell you that this is a problem, and more people are coming to New York. New York can't take any more people. We need to make sure that we're having some sort of border security measure. So it's even, you know, it may not be people in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, but we have local governments, local Democratic governments, who are talking to Biden and saying, we need some help. We need some sort of border security measures passed.
Yep. Well, buddy, thank you for taking time to be with us today. Tell the folks about FAIR and where they can donate and support it.
Definitely. I appreciate you giving us the space here. You know, FAIR, we're an organization, of course, for immigration restricting legislation, pushing for all those things. We're trying to keep this message in the forefront, so that way hopefully we get the House of Representatives, Senate, people like that actually talking about border security. People can find us at fairus.org. We have, you know, as you talked about, that red donate button at the top, $5, $10, whatever you could give us, of course, it would help. You can find us on social media. FAIR on Facebook, at FAIR Immigration on Twitter, at FAIR Immigration on Instagram. And, of course, we'd appreciate people's support, people following us, and just trying to get this issue out there.
You got it. Folks, we've been speaking with our good friend, Ron Kovach from the Federation for American Immigration Reform in Washington, D.C. Thank you very, very much, Ron. Have a good one.
And of course, you too. Thanks so much, George.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we have a very special guest with us today, a good friend who's been on before. In fact, this gentleman has been echoing the fight, the gravity of the situation at the border for a couple of years now. I mean, the gentleman has been at the forefront of trying to bring attention to what the problem is. It is none other than our good friend, Mr. Brent Smith, the attorney, the county attorney for Kenney County. For those of you who are not familiar with Texas geography and politics, Kenney County is right on the border. It is right next door to Del Rio and Eagle Pass. And it has been, it is a rural county that has been literally overrun with illegal aliens. The ranchers in that area have been under siege. And the situation has gotten to the point that the county has requested assistance not only from counties here in Texas, from other counties here in Texas, to get some resources, some backup on for their law enforcement, but also now they have sent out a letter to neighboring states to help. The fact of the matter is, my friends, that all the problems that Kenney County is facing are problems that you are going to be facing in your backyard soon. This is the second phase of the illegal alien crisis, my friends, of the border crisis, is that illegal aliens entering the United States create a problem at the border, but eventually they're going to create a problem in your community, whether your community is in Iowa, Massachusetts, Nebraska, Washington State, wherever. It is coming. They are coming to your backyard. So I wanted to get Brent to come on the show and talk to us about that. Brent, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us. Tell us about this request for assistance from other counties and other states.
Yeah, George, thank you for having me. You know, the border crisis rages on here on the Southwest border, as it is everywhere. And, you know, the dangers that we are encountering, the violence that we are encountering is raging on. It's actually escalating. And, you know, we've been waiting for the federal government to try to solve the crisis. We've been waiting for the state government to try to provide help. And so far, everything that's been done is not slowing it down or deterring. And so what you know, our county sheriff is doing in the county is requesting law enforcement aid from counties across the state of Texas, and including that of, you know, Arkansas, New Mexico. I mean, not think New Mexico, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and, you know, hell, even Florida, if they're gonna send anybody. But what happens in Kenney County affects all the other counties and the nation itself, because it comes through us. It comes through the border counties. So we're requesting law enforcement assistance to try to stop, to make a stand here, because if the state and the federal government aren't going to do something, the counties themselves have to.
The situation continues to escalate, because I have, you know, I have read and seen reports where not only gotaways are increasing, I mean chases are increasing, but also sometimes gunfire and guns are being stolen, etc., etc.
Yeah, this last week we had a group of illegal aliens break into a house here in Kenney County and stole the firearm, you know, and over 100 rounds of ammunition, knives, everything else. You know, they're not stealing water or bread; they're stealing firearms and weapons. You know, why would that be if they're just here seeking a better life, which is the narrative that the left pushes? I can tell you from experience that that is not the story. There's people coming in wishing harm on people in the United States. And, the situation just continues to escalate. And, you know, how many people have to die before someone does something? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, the situation where you guys arrest someone for trespassing, that has been challenged. There's been a lot of arguments about that. Is that still happening? I mean, is the sheriff still arresting folks for trespassing? And then what happens?
Oh, of course, of course. You know, we're, my office is prosecuted over 5,000 now for trespassing, evading arrest, criminal mischief, you know, things of that nature. You know, we're still prosecuting as much as we can, but it's a drop in the bucket of what's actually coming over, because, you know, I only get case files on people who can be arrested. And if we don't have enough officers and boots on the ground, then, you know, they get through. So, no, we're continuing on. There's always going to be challenges from the left and, you know, other activist groups that are not wanting anything to be done to these people. But, you know, if you or I were on someone's ranch without permission, we'd be prosecuted for trespass. It shouldn't matter, you know, what nationality you are or anything. And I've been told here today, this morning, that a smuggling load was stopped with Iranians in the vehicle. Wow. And so I'm still waiting on some developing facts on that situation. But it's not just, you know, Mexican nationals. It's the entire world, including terrorist organizations, coming through this border. And we're trying to blow the whistle to let everyone know there's a national security threat occurring, not only in Kenny County, but all the counties in the border. And we need help down here. And so that's why Sheriff Brad Coe is requesting help from any law enforcement agency that can send not only boots on the ground, but, you know, drone operators, vehicles, surveillance, anything that would help. Because if we don't catch it here, it's going to your hometown.
That's exactly right. Now, give us an idea. Give the folks an idea of the size of Kenny County and the number of actual deputies, sheriffs, law enforcement folks that the county has.
The county population is, you know, about 3,200 people. It's very rural, very agricultural, you know, all ranches and farms in the county. I believe Sheriff Coe has, you know, six deputies to patrol that, you know, that area. And I think, you know, he can speak more to how many resources he has, but I can tell you it's not enough. You know, I mean, my family has ranches as well, and I'll call the sheriff, I'll call DPS and Border Patrol. No one's available. No one's available to respond when something happens. And so, if, you know, if I can't get any law enforcement, I feel sorry for anyone else as well. Like, there's no law enforcement to respond that's able to respond on the ranches. So that's, you know, we're in a dire situation because they're just coming through by the droves, and there's nothing we can do to stop them with the limited resources we have, George.
Mm-hmm. You have led the fight to get the attention of Austin, the capital of Texas, to get the state government's attention. What is it that you need? Hopefully in this legislature they might deliver.
You know, there's the state government, the governor himself has a tremendous amount of authority to protect his own border in the state of Texas. And that's what everyone, not including just myself, but all the counties over 42 now have declared an invasion on the southern border and requesting Governor Abbott enforce that. So far, he has not taken steps to actually secure the border. That's what we're requesting, is for the state government to secure the border of Texas and protect its citizens. This has been done before. Sam Houston did this in 1862, or in 1860, I believe. And so it wouldn't be the first time it occurred. But what people of Texas are wanting is for our state leadership to step up to the plate and pass the bills that need to be passed and take action that needs to be taken. And if we don't, you know, Texas stands at a crossroads right now. Depending on what we do now will affect generations upon generations of Texas to come. And I don't think people realize the severity of that situation that we're facing right now, but they need to.
And yes, they truly do. I mean, we are seeing it, you know, El Paso has seen it firsthand with their problem with homelessness and crime. San Antonio is seeing it, but they've refused, the liberal leadership here refuses to acknowledge it. New York is already screaming and yelling that there's too many illegal aliens coming into their city, and they've only got less than, 10,000. I mean, compared to what they're seeing, what has Kenny County been experiencing?
Well, I'm not going to have much pity for cities like New York and those that have seen a drop in the bucket of what we've seen. You know, we've made more arrests than for trespassing than there's people in the county. It's an everyday deal, and we're not even apprehending more than 10% of what's coming through. So that tells you the gotaways are the vast majority of the problem. It's not the people at the port of entries, attempting to claim asylum. That's not the issue. It's the gotaways. And people in the media do not realize the amount of gotaways dwarfs those are surrendering themselves at the ports of entry. And that's a real problem that is going unreported on this whole crisis.
And those gotaways are the ones that are the more dangerous ones. That's why they don't want to get detected, correct?
Correct. They do not want any interaction with law enforcement. They are fleeing law enforcement for a reason. And that good example of those are those the ones that stole the weapons and the ammunition. Why in the world, do you steal weapons, ammunition, and knives if you're just coming here for a better life? They're coming here for another purpose.
That's exactly right. The president, President Biden, went to El Paso and then went to Mexico. Do you see any positive fallout from that?
No, not at all. If anything, Biden is probably looking for a way to open the barn doors even wider, to let more in. Any issue he handles turns out to be a catastrophe. And I don't foresee any positive results of his visit or his dealings with Mexico. Mexico is a narco state at this point, and Biden is incompetent. The people of Texas we're done waiting on Biden. You're just wasting your breath asking him to help, because from day one, he has open border policies. What he's doing right now shouldn't surprise anybody. And some people waiting on him to change his mind on that policy are just being, it's foolish at this point to think that Biden will secure the border. That is not an option for the solution at this point. It rests on the states to do something about it, because Biden will not.
You got it. Exactly. There you go, folks. It's up to the states to do it, because the federal government is not going to do it. Brent, thank you very much for taking time to be with us and give us an update of what is happening. Thank you very much for all of the work and the leadership that you've provided in this crisis. You're doing it for your home county, but it's also for the benefit of the entire nation. Thank you very, very much for that.
You're welcome, George. I appreciate it. Anytime.
You got it. Once again, my friends, we've been speaking with Brent Smith, the attorney for Kenney County, Texas. And this is George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Once again, my friends, thank you for joining us today. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. We want to thank all of our listeners. We want to thank you for being so supportive of our program. We ask you to please tell your folks, tell your friends and neighbors about our program. You can find us online. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on our website. You can find us in various ways. But my friends, we need to educate people. We need to tell them about what is going on at the border. We also have Blog Talk Radio, which we speak on various other subjects other than the border. But the border, my friends, is the top topic on this program. So thank you for joining us, my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. Till next time.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.